three people singing that time instead of two. But all the voices were good.
Amen.
And last week, I think I did that. Nobody mentioned it to me because I don't think my voice was that good. I realized, oh no, I've been singing and I'm not muted. So it happens. It happens. So anyhow, what a great time this morning to be with you again. Now, if you would take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Great is the mystery of godliness. Wow. God was manifest in the flesh. Well, Matthew chapter 2 is going to be one of those significant records about the birth of the Lord Jesus. And not only the birth of the Lord Jesus, but the visit of the wise men. Birth in chapter 1, visit of the wise men in chapter 2. But we're going to occupy ourselves with the visit of the wise men, this particular message. Now, we're going to learn a lot about this because maybe for years you've been like me. You see a manger scene and it's great. Now, it's quite, most manger scenes are quite decorated. I'm sure Joseph and Mary would have loved to have had one as clean and nice as most that you see. Chances are it wasn't quite that good for them. But we, in those manger scenes, or the nativity as it's sometimes called, what we have is we have Joseph and Mary and the baby, of course, in a manger. And then we have cattle and sheep and things like that, whatever you can get together. Chickens, and I've only got chickens. I don't have cattle and sheep. But so, and then eventually you get shepherds. Shepherds come. And I was watching a documentary, more of a movie slash documentary, short version last night. And I never thought about the shepherds bringing the sheep with them. I think it says, didn't it say they left them or something? But anyhow, they got them, okay? And they got maybe some lambs, I'm not sure. But so you got Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus, and you got cows and donkeys and chickens and goats and shepherds, and lo and behold, guess who else is there? The wise men. There they are, dressed in royal everything. Got these big boxes of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and there they all are at the manger. It's a nice thought, but it's just not exactly the way it happened. And so we're going to read chapter 2. I want you to notice the first part of the first verse of Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born. You get that now? You got to get that. This is not Jesus being born. This is not the shepherds and the angels and the message and the manger. We've moved along now from that. And the text is quite clear, actually, about this. Now, look, I'm not at war. Please don't read me wrong here. I am not at war. I am not critical. You want to put some wise men out in your yard with the shepherds? You go right ahead and do that, you know. But it's very clear in the scriptures that the shepherds probably never met the wise men. The shepherds were long gone. They were doing evangelistic work by the time that the wise men got there. So watch your Bibles. Let me read it for you, beginning in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Okay, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all of the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, now he quotes Micah, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time did the star appear. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring the word back to me so that I might come and worship him also. Verse 9. Now, when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, mark that, they saw the young child, mark that, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I've called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now that's a long reading, but we don't apologize for reading the Word of God publicly to you this morning. Now, just keep something in mind. Luke also records about Gabriel coming and the announcement to Mary, and Matthew records part of that in his first chapter. And then Luke goes on to talk about Joseph and Mary and them going to Bethlehem and no room in the inn, and the baby is born, the shepherds come, and all that, which is great. But now we focus on a later point in time. Now, I say it's a later point because of several things. First of all, we're introduced that it's after Jesus was born, not the time of his birth. We read that in verse 1. And then I want you to notice the references. There are multitudes of references that talk about the young child. Start in verse 8, young child. End of verse 9, young child. 11, talk about the house, not the stable, not the manger, the house. And again, young child. Again, 13, young child. Again, 13, young child. 14, young child. My goodness, it's on and on. Verse 20, young child. Again, 20, young child's life. Again, 21, young child. Wow. Listen, we're talking about a young child here. We're not talking about a baby, okay? There's also a clue as to how young the child might be. I want you to notice that in verse 7, Herod kind of said, keep everything quiet, but come over here for a minute. What time did you see that star? Now you go find him and come and tell me, and then I'll come worship him. Well, we know he's not going to want to worship him. He wants to kill him, because after the wise men were warned as to what was going to happen, they went a different way home. They didn't go back and tell Herod anything. They went a different way home. But in verse 16, when Herod realized he was deceived by the wise man, he got really mad, and he had all the male children in Bethlehem and the districts around Bethlehem from 2 years old and under. Now, that'll give you a hint. See, when at first the wise men not inquired of Herod, but in the city, they come into the city and they say, well, where is he? Where is he? Surely you would know where. We've seen his star in the east, and the king is here. The king is here. Well, finally the word got back, and Herod said, what king are we talking about? And so the king of the Jews. And and this is what's recorded in verse 3. Herod was troubled. Everybody's troubled. Hey, we got a good system here. It's working just great. Thank you very much. We don't need any more kings. I'm the only king, and he's upset, he's troubled, Jerusalem is troubled, and this is where the whole thing leads. So, looks like to me we're talking about the Lord Jesus being 2 years old, probably younger, and I'll tell you why. Herod's going to give a few months, if not a year, who knows exactly. He's going to clean the board. He might have just, he just said, any baby's been born the last 2 years, take them out. No, just the males. Now, you'd wonder, how many male children would be in Bethlehem at that time? I have no way of verifying anything I'm about to say, but I have read, because of the population and because of male children, there might have been 20. Let me tell you something, dear friend. If you were Rachel, and you have one, and a Roman soldier comes in and says, any babies in this house? Yes, I have a son. Yeah. How old is he? Oh, he's just 18 months. Take him. Last time you saw him, or maybe right in front of you, they killed him. Rachel is weeping for her children. This is the prophecy. And dear friend, it was a sad day. Now, all that to say that the timing is significantly different here. We don't have shepherds. We've got a house. We've got a young child and his mother, and we got wise men. Okay, so who are these wise men? Well, your guess is as good as mine. I don't think anybody knows who they were. No, just make it up. Oh, they worshiped the stars, or they were stargazers, or I don't know what. But I know a star got their attention. And from wherever they were, it just says from the east. That'd be Arabia or Persia or Babylon or Mesopotamia. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have any definite information for you there, but they traveled from a distance and it took them a while. When did the star appear? Maybe the star did appear when Jesus was born. I don't know. Maybe that's exactly when it appeared. Maybe it took them a year to get there. I mean, there's no planes or trains. Every picture I ever saw them, they're on the camels at best and hoofing it sometimes. So it took them quite a while to get there. But when they get there, now the star is leading them. You say, what kind of a star was that? Oh, people that say, oh, the planets have lined up and this was that. No, it wasn't. No planets are lining up. This is a miracle. I mean, this star is for these guys, and these guys have heard something. Somehow they have figured, I don't know how they figured it out, but they have figured out that that star is leading them to a king who's going to be the king of Israel, king of the Jews. How they figured that out, I do not know, but they are following that star. Now, they didn't always see the star, okay? Because they get to Jerusalem and where is it, you know? And then after, oh, the star appeared again. Oh, there it is. And there they are. And the star led them right to the house, right over the house, just like a giant spotlight. And it just said, right here. And that's how they found him. Now, why did they go there? What was their purpose? Oh, they came to worship him. Worship him. Dear friend, let me share something with you. Worship is attributing to a person worth, value, honor, esteem, praise, all of these things. When they come down and finally find the house, it says, and this is quite often it happens, you'll see it in verse 11, they fell down to worship him. Now, I'm not sure that very many people actually fall down to worship anymore. You know, just getting on your knees sometime is hard enough. With your face to the ground is a lot different. But you will find out in the scriptures that whenever the followers of our Lord and of his Father worship, they most generally got down. And if they did not voluntarily get down, they were in such awe, such inspiration, such excitement, such visible ways in which they bowed their heads and they got down like that. Now, these were evidently well-off wise men. They bring some valuable stuff. They come from a long way. They had to, you know, foot their own bill. I mean, they came to worship. They came to give the gifts. They came to honor the Lord. Now let me talk about their faith for a minute. See how your faith matches up with their faith. First of all, they believed in a king, a Christ that they had never seen. They didn't see him. They saw a star. Somehow they figured that out. Somehow God revealed that to them. But not did they just believe in Christ that they had never seen. They believed in him when the religious leaders in Jerusalem didn't believe in him. This is different. The scribes and the Pharisees were unbelieving. You say, well, how were they unbelieving? They didn't care. They read the scriptures. They quoted it with accuracy. They didn't go. I mean, Herod has to tell the wise men, when you get on there and find him, let me know. None of my people are going. We don't believe that stuff. So they believed when the scribes and the Pharisees didn't believe. But that's not all. They believed when they saw the young child with his mother and they worshiped him as king. Now, do you think that maybe they had this much? There's a star, a king is born, okay, let's go. And they travel and they travel and it's months and it's months and maybe it's a year, maybe it's longer, I don't know. Finally, they get there. And can you imagine they look at one another and say, are you kidding me? That's that child over there? That's the king? That can't be the king. But he was the king. They had not seen any miracle. Well, I say the star. They had not heard any teaching that we know of. They had had nobody to persuade them. All they see is a young child and his mother taking care of him. And when they saw the young child, they believe he was the king. And they worshiped him. They fell down and they worshiped him. Now, you and I got a whole lot more of information to go on. Now, there are two things in the revelation in the passage. Don't miss this. There was a star and there was the scriptures. God does that. You see, if he gives a natural revelation, he will give you a scriptural revelation to match that. It's unbelievable. Don't we read in Romans chapter 1, when it talks about the natural creation, don't we read that God says, everybody in the world, no matter who you are, if you step out of your house, you look up, you see stars, you see sun, you see moon, you see all the rivers and lakes and clouds and universe. And God says, and that's natural creation. That's a sign. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. And if you've seen that, you know what God says? No excuse. You got enough. You got enough right there. The wise men, they see a star. They got some natural creation going on. God is working, but the star led them to the place where the scriptures are read. That's amazing to me. You always can verify the natural creation with the scriptures. You can always verify God's leading through unique, miraculous circumstances by the scriptures. And I'll go this far. If you say you've had a miracle or some revelation special to you and you can't verify it by scripture, I'd stick with the scriptures myself. Because they don't change. Be careful. So here they are. They're seeking. They're looking at the star. They're looking at the scriptures. Herod says, you religious men over there, do we know anything about this? I said, oh, yes, right in the Bible. You just open your Bible to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. There it is right there. And they read it for him. That's where he's going to be born. 750 years before he's born, Micah says, let me give you a little information. Bethlehem is in the land of Judah. That's where he's going to be born. He shall come forth a ruler. The king is going to be born in Bethlehem. They were seeking. They were serious. They traveled far. They were sincere. They have come to worship. And guess what? Faith gave way to sight, and they saw with their own eyes. Oh, dear friend, not unlike ourselves. Oh, I've never seen Jesus. I just haven't. Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. But I tell you, I've seen him in this book right here. This Bible right here is all about Jesus. You want to know about Jesus? Read the book. You want to know what he's like? Read the scriptures. You want to know where he was born? You want to know what his name was? You want to know what his destiny was? You don't know what his character was? You want to read about his miracle? Just read the Bible. The Bible will tell you. I haven't seen him, but having not seen, I believe, because the evidence is so clear, and he changes lives. Now, let me make an application. Can I do that? You know, when the wise men were warned in a dream about Herod, God said, now go home another way. Go another way. Don't go back that way. It'll be trouble back there. We don't want to give him any more information. And I might get angry at you. Just go home another way. Watch this. They came in faith seeking. When they found the child, their lives were changed, and they left another way. They went home a different way. They went home different wise men. If you've been saved here today, let me tell you something. You were seeking the Lord Jesus through various circumstances of life. I don't know how. But it's been verified by the scriptures. And you believe that God sent his son into the world to save sinners. And you believe that you're the sinner and you've trusted him. And so you come by faith and you've trusted him. You know, the day you trusted him, you went home a different person than when you came. You might have even gone home a different way. I did. Physically, you know, geographically. And that's what happened to these guys. There's something else about the scriptures that's so clear. Now, we read about three things in the text. We read he was born in Bethlehem. We read that Joseph and Mary were warned that Herod was going to seek the life of the child and that they should go to Egypt. Born in Bethlehem, gone to Egypt. And then we read that after Herod's death, I want you to go back to the land of Israel. When they went back, they got a little afraid. They ended up in Nazareth. Now, the scriptures would say the king would be born in Bethlehem, right? And then we read that God would call his son out of Egypt. You say, well, I don't know how that had ever worked. And that Jesus would be a Nazarene, not a Nazarite. Don't get that mixed up. A Nazarene from Nazareth, town of Nazareth, Galilee, northern Israel. You say, well, you couldn't be born in Bethlehem and you couldn't come out of Egypt and you couldn't be raised up in Nazareth. There must be three people. No, just one. The Bible's always right. Born in Bethlehem, warned because of a threat on his life, go to Egypt. Then I'll call you out of Egypt. I'll call you back to Israel. You can grow up in Nazareth and you'll be called a Nazarene. That's the Bible. It's always true. It's a book that gives you details. Now, something else about these wise men. The question that Herod gave them was, what time did the star come and I'll come and worship him? There's a lot of people say they want to worship. They don't want to worship. They want a feeling. They want goosebumps. They want religion. They want stained glass. They want cathedrals. They want beautiful buildings. They want a club. They want, but listen, all of Jerusalem and Herod were in trouble. Because you see, what they didn't realize that Herod knew something's going on, but Jesus in the cradle is more powerful than Herod on the throne, and he's troubled. It's a bad time for him. We are all troubled when someone threatens to be over us or someone infringes in our lifestyle or someone says, you need to be saved or Jesus can change your life. And you go, I don't want my life changed. Herod didn't want his life changed. I'm okay the way I am. The only ones that found Jesus that day were people seeking him. Did you get that? Herod didn't find him. He tried to kill him. Religious people, scribes and Pharisees, they didn't find him. They're not interested in him. Only those that seek the Lord will be those that have their life changed and find him. So, yeah, let me just say, in closing, they were seeking wise men. They were serious, traveling from afar, wise men. They were sincere. They came to worship, and they were saved because they believed. They believed in somebody they never saw. They believed in somebody that other people didn't believe in. They believed a child was actually the king. They believed that the child was worth worshiping. And dear friend, let me tell you, he is worth worshiping. He is worth accepting. Now here's a Christmas carol you didn't sing today. I was thinking maybe you might sing it, but it's not one of the more common ones. But it's called, Do You Have Any Room for Jesus? Listen to the lyrics or the words of this. Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory? Hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Room and time now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon your heart left cold and silent, and your Savior's pleading cease. Room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open, bid him enter while you may. The servant king is on the planet. He's come, God with us, the Savior of the world. He'll save his people from their sin. He's going to the cross for you. He went to the cross. There he shed his blood. He died. He became something that he never was. The one who knew no sin became sin. He took your sin on himself, and the wrath of God judged his own son. Oh, dear friend, please. This could be the best Christmas you'd ever had if you have Jesus in your heart. Room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified. Death couldn't hold him. The grave gave him up. The third day he rose victorious, and he wants to come into your heart, into my heart, into your family. He wants to change your family. Listen, today you can go home a different person. The day you can shut this Zoom class off and the King of glory live in your heart. Today is the day. The wise man didn't have a lot to go on. We got a whole lot to go on. Trust him today. Seek him today. Would I dare say it? Wise men and women, are you listening? Still seek him. Let's pray. Father, thank you that the scriptures must be fulfilled. Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. There's no other way. You can't contradict scriptures. How would we believe anything? But every scripture is fulfilled. Thank you for that confidence. Thank you for calling him out of Egypt. Thank you that he grew up in Nazareth. Thank you that he went to the cross in Jerusalem, and there he suffered and bled and died for poor sinners, for those wise men that came. Even for Herod and the whole city of Jerusalem, did not the Lord Jesus weep over that city and say, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would, and you would not." What a testimony. What a testimony. Oh, God, I pray today that unlike Herod and unlike the religious leaders, but just like the wise men, someone today in this class, someone listening, might say, "I want him. I will seek him. I will trust him. I will believe God. I believe he died for me and rose again. And I want him in my heart today. And I want to be a different person. I want to be a Christian." In Jesus' name, amen.